Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 207. My name is Andy, and I play Kator. Everyone's really quiet and staring at me.
It looked like you were really struggling to get that number out.
Like, you could have prepped that before you went through the intro?
No, I was saying it in my head as I was saying it. So and I had to get it right. Make sure I got it right, and I got it right.
Wanted God to add some dramatic flair.
You guys want some dramatic flair? None of the audio podcast listeners heard that.
Nope.
Yeah, you flailed.
It was the most flair I've seen ever. I'm Brian, and I'm playing Grimkin.
Grumkin. Yeah.
All the kins.
I'm Travis, and I'm also playing Grimkin, because they're awesome.
I'm Dave. I'm playing Rhett mostly these days.
And I'm Max, and I'm also playing the good pointy ears out there.
Yay.
It's a good thing I swapped over to Kator, because otherwise we'd have three Rhett players on here.
And to Grimkin, you'd have a full house.
Yeah.
Excellent. No winning for this here. So.
Yeah, it's all the factions represented now, right? I'm pretty sure.
That's it, pretty much.
It is. All the factions.
Well, I mean, I'm the holdout, basically, of the factions. There's not many Kators that out there.
You're effectively playing Grimkin because you're just playing Old Witch.
Yeah.
I've not played Old Witch. So.
You're going to play Old Witch 2
What's
eventually.
What's wrong with you?
No.
She's really good.
Nah. Just Sorsha. All the Sorshas. And then Sorsha 3, Man of War Sorsha.
Honestly, I still think like Sorsha 1 and Old Witch 2 are probably the more like frustrating matchups for Rhett.
Okay. Then thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry, guys.
Oh, just because it hoses all the shooting?
Yeah.
Or not Sorsha's locks
got
all
such
that,
high
yeah.
defense. Mm-hmm. And then she can get you from super far away. And her silver bullet used to be Ossian, but he can go die in a fire now because of some balancing. So that was the happiest day of my life.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, I was on my Kator kick at that point.
My
never got to play the glory.
I'm feeling like I'm scrunching.
God, what was it? My first 30 games of MK3 were Sorsha versus Ossian because I had to figure out how to break that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough.
Adjust this on air instead of doing it before the event. This is great.
That's perfect.
Oh, God. I'm sure they're enjoying that. I'm sure they love that. I'm sure they all love that.
It's just the rat that Travis left in here.
So we have some announcements. We should probably talk about some events that are coming up.
We didn't even... never mind.
We finished doing it.
I'm sorry that whiskey's still hanging around a little.
Dude, you had like a finger of whiskey. That's it.
Smoked some weed before I got here.
So we have some events to talk about. Definitely not talking about the WITC or the ATC at all. We're not going to talk about Gen Con. So there's no events. Hey, no. Awesome. Good stuff. We brought Travis on to talk about the WITC, Gen Con, and
there's a fork.
Oh, well, I didn't plan on Gen Con. Holy crap.
Yeah, you forgot about Gen Con?
No, I remembered about Gen Con. That's my next event I have to deal with. So yeah, let's start with WITC. For those that are not aware of what's going on with WITC, registration for the three-person teams is due at tomorrow. Tuesday. Tuesday is the final day. August 1st, 2017 is the... Are you okay?
I was coming back on my beer.
Sounds like Andy's piggyback starting to come out.
Exactly. but it's...
I had three fingers of whiskey.
Tuesday, August 1st is when registration for your team is due. You send a PayPal, friends and family request for the $100 registration to atcwmh@gmail.com, and you send us your team name, and we get you on the list. And then the event occurs on August 26th, which is a Saturday. It's in Waukesha, Wisconsin, at the Elks Lodge. If you need an address or anything like that, the details for this event are on atcwmh.com. Beyond that, Nathan and Andy are going to be the main judges for the event. And
yeah.
Really, something of that
pretty
sort.
Much, pretty
something
much
of that sort. The next date after the reg date that's important is August 11th is list lock date. We're going to be using David's Software Conflict Chamber to streamline the list validation process, because it made ATC so much easier to do it for.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, exactly. And it's awesome for that. So we're going to use that again this year for WITC. And then something that people need to be aware of is nothing CID related is going to be allowed. Like no stuff well, that's not, in the like, there's no it's not a playtest session. It's a full event.
Yeah, it's not out yet either. It's correct. Not an official rule. We're not beta testing anything.
Correct. You're playing in the real world.
It's playing in the real world. It's playing the release stuff. So.
So I guess there's one follow-up for that. Do we know that there's not going to be any new errata or changes between now
and the WITC? We list when in the packet there's any new errata goes live. If it goes live before the event, we're going to use it. Okay. So there is the potential of errata messing with things, but with CID, we're most likely not going to get errata that causes someone's list to fully invalidate.
Right.
And if someone's list does get invalidated by points or whatever at that point, we'll work on that by a case-by-case basis. We're not going to let everyone just redo their lists after they've already seen them. But we will be changing. Like if, for example, if someone's already 4 points down because they couldn't fit something in and their caster drops Warjack points or something like that, and now all of a sudden you have either over points or you're too far under points, we'd fix that. But we wouldn't do something like,
what, you submit a brand new list.
Correct. Like, say Baldur 2's feet changed for whatever reason. I don't know why Baldur 2's in my mind, but say his feet changed for whatever reason.
List shouldn't ignore my feet.
That's why it's on my mind. Yep. Holy cow, that thread. Say Baldur 2's feet changed for whatever reason to be completely different. We're not going to let you change your list because you have Baldur 2 or you don't have Baldur 2 in your pairings. It's your list is locked on August 11th. So we'll be doing that. That's the next deadline date for that. And then a note on the prize that's really cool for WITC is the winning team of WITC is going to get 3 effectively player entries into ATC for free. Okay. So like if you have your 3-man team, 3-person team,
watch that.
For WITC, for ATC, 3 of your 5 people will be comped for winning WITC. So it's actually a pretty cool prize because that does end up being quite a bit of money.
$40 or something.
It's $50 to $100 per player, somewhere in that area. It depends on what the full cost is or what the full team cost is, but it's somewhere between $50 and $100 for ATC. So that ends up being a substantial prize, which is pretty neat. But yeah, we're super excited to run this. I think at last count, I had 12 to 14-ish teams, mm-hmm. with a couple still waiting in the wings. Like I know,
we Brian, have 3 teams coming from Baraboo.
You have 3?
Yep.
Last I heard there was 2.
3 now.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. So no, that's like, because none of your teams have registered, I don't think.
Nope.
that's why I'm surprised by 3. Like, I knew there was 2, but 3 is amazing.
It took a while. We had the whole group of 9, and we just kind of had to juggle it, right?
To figure who got where on that. So yeah, no, that's super cool. We're going to have, if 3 teams sign up there, and we have 1 or 2 stragglers that are coming in from the area, that's going to put us over the 16, which is going to be great. And then it's all going to take place on that one day. We're going to crank through it. Elk's Lodge worked out for us really well last year. We're going to use it again. And I think we're going to have food on site this time where they're going to open up their grill and we're just going to be able to buy food from them straight up.
Quick question. Models released. So let's say you have some models that are actually officially released at Gen Con. Are those going to be legal for list building?
So you're saying...
Like if they're... I don't know if they've released all the casters for Grimkin yet.
All those have the street dates.
Yeah,
so the army box is legit because the army box is out. So Heretic is legal.
Even though his street date is
until
September.
Correct. His street date's in September. I think every caster but Old Witch.
Old Witch and
Wanderer is the one that I was... Wanderer is the one I was feeling it's not because I think he's a September release as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like you have 3 of the 4 or 4 of the 6 depending on where it falls on that. But nothing that... Like if they released a brand new model at Gen Con that is like, this is the release date for the model, then that would be allowed. But that kind of really breaks it because you don't really have...
That's atypical for Gen Con.
Exactly. And it's after the list lock, so you really can't change your list to make it work anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay.
So it's like...
So if you release a model and my caster gets errated,
Sure. Probably not, though. You probably wouldn't get the new release. But anything that's on the schedule for August should be out before WITC.
Okay.
Because I believe the second release date is that Wednesday beforehand.
And all of this is handled automatically in Conflict Chamber, so once list submissions are up, you'll be able to bring up the editor and see exactly what is
legal.
Allowed.
Yeah. Sure. So it's going to be really good for that. But then, like, you have to remember that things that have point changes, like the new Mulg isn't going to be there.
Correct.
The point reductions for any of the Trollkin stuff, not going to be there.
Is Conflict Chamber... I don't use it much for list building, but I respect the site greatly. But you have a special CID section for like you have like a Trollbloods Prime and then Trollbloods CID.
The way it's set up on the site is that anything that has anything that's either in CID and hasn't been released yet or has been modified, there's a specific entry for it. And
okay.
If you go on Conflict Chamber, you can create. It'll let you create stuff with CID and then pop up a warning in the list that you're using CID entries.
Okay.
And the submission for WITC will be set up slightly differently, so that when you hit the edit list for the submission, it won't show any of the pre-release stuff. It won't show any of the CID stuff.
Perfect.
So you'll only be able to do that, and then we'll do validation server and client side. So you will know immediately that everything you've entered in is correct, and Travis and Nathan will know immediately and can yell at you if you try any fancy stuff.
Yeah. And we don't have too many problems with it because with the automated build on it, you don't really run into issues with having lists come in invalid.
Yep.
Like we had that for more rooms, some people were building invalid lists or just hand typing them and giving us invalid lists. We don't really have, like, our list validation for ATC last year took us substantially less than it took for WITC the year before, or the 6 months before, or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think we cleared everything for release in less than a day.
Yeah, it was really awesome. So there's a couple of us that need to put our list in early, like me, because I can't look at other people's lists until after I get mine in.
Yeah, and me too, for that matter.
Exactly. So there's a couple of us that need to get our lists in right off the bat, so then we can validate. But that's not a pain, not too much of a pain. But
I could do that too.
Sure.
I'm judging.
Correct. It's not hard for us to crank through it. So, we're gonna get that taken care of. Any of you guys have any questions about WITC?
Well, there's one other thing that's going to be at the WITC that hasn't been really fully announced by everybody yet. The Mayhem Cup is going to make an appearance there. Nathan and I, we're going to be having people either sign up for it or we're just going to include everybody. They can just say, they have a checkbox, say, my team wants to play for the Mayhem Cup. And then whatever results that you have for that day will go into the standings for the Mayhem Cup. The winning majority gets to either take the cup with them to possibly have tournaments at their local store or just get their name engraved on it. We're leaning towards having just their name engraved on it, and then we'll have the Mayhem Cup every year at the WITC.
Sure. That works, yeah. Because we're in the region, so it works out really well for that.
Yeah. I mean, it was originally built to be a traveling trophy. I mean, it's gone to... from here over to Canada, over to Texas.
And then to Australia.
And then it was supposed to go to Australia, and then it never went to Australia.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to pay for...
Shipping that thing's a pain in the butt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does not come with Omnom. Omnom is separate, but he might sit in it while you guys play.
I'm surprised you put him in the center of that trophy, considering what's probably happened to it.
It's fine. He's washable.
Did you bleach the trophy?
No, but he was in Texas.
Drip in the water.
It did go to Canada though, before it went to Seattle.
Canada's clean.
Canada
has a purifying presence.
Yeah,
there.
Okay. That's clean.
Yeah, some Canadians touched it after Texans touched it, so I think it's fine.
Cancels out.
Yeah.
And then leading from WITC... the next event that we're running for a big thing is ATC. That's January 13th and 14th of 2018. It's going to be at the same location. It's going to be at the Clarion Hotel near the airport in Milwaukee. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for those that are not aware where Milwaukee is.
There's another Milwaukee?
There might be.
There's a Milwaukee in Brookfield. There's a Milwaukee in Franklin. There's a Milwaukee in Waukesha.
He's making the joke about, I don't know if you're listening to Lost Aspect earlier.
No, not everybody was streaming it while they were driving.
Just listening! The joke is all the stores that are outside of Milwaukee, because there's really no store inside of Milwaukee. All of them are Milwaukee. And yeah, I had to explain the joke and it's really dumb.
It's not dumb.
Guys, you need to speak up just a little bit.
All right. Yeah. So we're doing it at the Clarion Hotel. Voices. Yeah, I know. Whatever.
Your person voices.
I don't have a person voice.
Okay.
Just has a me voice.
Come on, try to speak in purple this time.
Yeah, I wish I could. Facebook would be so much easier if I could. But we're going at the Clarion Hotel again. Hopefully renovations will be done this time, so it's not going to be stupid next time. And then costs and more details will be coming out shortly after WITC, because we want to kind of keep the feed clear between the two of them, because I think if we start posting ATC stuff now, it's going to confuse everyone for WITC, and I don't want to cross the streams at all on this. So costs and more details will be coming soon. Again, you can find all that stuff at atcwmh.com.
Awesome. We should probably have that on the Crypto System page. We should probably
put a link or whatever. Yeah.
Like Nathan's part of it, and he's part of the podcast. Yeah. So I should have that on the website. But I'm too lazy to fuck with that site.
It's hard for me to put details onto, because it's like six places. Put it on the Facebook. Put it on the website. Yeah, no, it's a pain in the butt. Promoting everything.
Yep. So Gen Con's happening. From what we learned in our last podcast, that there's no overnight events.
Correct. So the events run when they show that they're run for, and that's it.
Sure. So Iron Arena overnight?
Correct. It's just during the day. And then
what if somebody wants to show up and just play a game on the table?
I think, I'm not 100% sure what's happening to the train. I think we're either covering all the tables or we're taking all the train down every day.
It's only
32 tables. It's not that hard.
It still seems like it's better to just, and I'm just pissy about it, but I think it's just better to find somebody and just do some kind of contracting with them to get them to work a few graveyard shifts or something.
They might do something eventually. I think they're new in that department right now.
If this were something like Adepticon, where like it's not as big of a deal, but it's like Gen Con. This is huge. There's tons of people here, and they don't have a presence overnight.
The thing is, historically, Gen Con's presence overnight has been worse than Adepticon's presence overnight.
Yeah, well, sure, because people don't get drunk at Gen Con and in the room. And I don't know. I still think it's stupid.
The number of games that we've had after 6 o'clock at Gen Con is substantially less than the number of games that we have at any other convention after 6 o'clock. So that's part of the reason. It's the cost. And a lot of this isn't Private Press saying it, it's Gen Con yelling at us constantly about it. Mm. So I have to justify every table and every hour I have on those tables, which once you start going, oh, these tables don't see anything after 2 o'clock and why are you open? For whatever reason, they ask me about that. And so if I have to justify at 2 a.m. why this table's open, it's hard.
It's for when people want to play, I guess. But maybe I just got bigger balls than you, Travis.
Gen Con and being somebody... I got you.
Love Travis. You too, Brian.
I got you, Travis. And somebody that was in similar boat as you, basically having to help arrange and justify time on Gen Con tables, it's difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
In a yearly basis. Like, if you don't bring in the same amount of tickets or more as what you brought in last year, next year they're going to be like, yeah, you don't need all those tables.
Every year, since I've been doing Gen Con, every year we've reduced table space.
Yeah.
Because... Gen Con has run the issue of being a very expensive convention being effectively a non-gamer friendly convention, because it is more of a shopping convention, play demos, play a board game, play something that's not carry a case of miniatures around.
Yeah, it's more of a bazaar.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me even personally to justify, like, if you want to come to Gen Con, come to Gen Con. Enjoy Gen Con. It's not like, come play War Machine if that is your choice. but make the valid thought and the process of choosing that you want to play War Machine at that event or Hordes. You don't just say, well, I'm just going to go to Gen Con because it's Gen Con. I'm going to get an event in. Well, there's so much to do at Gen Con. See something, do something. And if you only want to do War Machine Hordes, we have the events for you still. It's just that there's not going to be any overnight stuff.
Yeah. My first year as a War Machine player at Gen Con, I did play in Masters A or Heat 1.
Yep.
It might have been back then. But that one I ended up playing for 2 rounds and dropped because I was like, I can be doing something way better with my time right now.
Exactly.
And then the second year I went as a War Machine player, I had brought my minis with me, but never pulled them out at all. And now this year, just because there's like the Grimkin hype in me,
exactly,
I might want to bring stuff to play with. But more likely than not, I'm not staying on site, so it's more of a hassle.
Correct.
So I'm probably, and especially with those goddamn dreadrots, if I leave them in that car for more than an hour, they're going to turn into a melty pile of shit. Because that's damn near what they were when I pulled them out of the box.
Yeah, it's hard if you, especially the hotels, not like. I have an attached hotel, and I don't even want to carry my models from the attached hotel across.
Exactly.
So it's just hard because it's different than War Machine Weekend or Lock and Load or Adepticon, where you can bring an army out and you can set that thing up against the wall and never have to worry about
it. Yeah, people won't touch your shit.
Touch it all because you're dealing with other miniature gamers and or only War Machine and Hordes miniature gamers. When you're dealing with Gen Con, you're dealing with every type of humanity at that point.
Yeah.
That you can't trust anyone with anything. So it's hard in that regard to like bring your army, like say you were going to play, bring an army, want to do some Iron Arena, set your army down, come back. You may not have an army there.
Yeah. At ATC, we ended up leaving our bags in the room overnight.
Couldn't
do that at Gen Con at all.
Absolutely not. And so that's the thing, like ATC has the benefit of that too. Like we locked the rooms. We closed the rooms from everyone that wasn't a War Machine player. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Yep.
It's just the aspect on Gen Con where it's you're dealing with people that you don't necessarily know and you don't trust, and I take no responsibility for anything that's left out that's not mine. Mm-hmm. And I can't watch 100 bags.
Exactly.
And Gen Con bags has gotten so big in the past few years.
Correct. And it's expensive. And this isn't a knock on trying to play War Machine at Gen Con. If you want to come play War Machine at Gen Con, we've got stuff for you. It's just be prepared for what you're getting into on it. The thing that I always recommend at this point is the Iron Arena. If you're coming to play Iron Arena, don't necessarily buy the tickets for the time slots. Buy generics.
Yep.
And then when you come and play, you can use your generic for that time slot instead of getting stuck with, oh, I got this one time slot, I have to go play at this time. No, buy generic and then decide when you're there to come play, because it's a vacation for most people. Go enjoy the convention.
Yeah. And when it comes to like iconic War Machine players, one of the benefits to going to these conventions and playing is that you will like go to war. If you go to War Machine Weekend or Adepticon, you're likely to run into games where you're playing some of these players that you idolize. But at Gen Con, it's a handful, maybe.
Correct. It's a different crowd.
Gen Con is such a, it has such a huge barrier to entry.
Yep.
So the chances of you getting a really great experience out of the War Machine games you play, probably not super high.
There's some good people still there.
I know. I guess I'm just saying.
Generals, the generalist aspect. Because it is. You're talking $400 for hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to justify when you're dealing $400 on just hotel, let alone, I don't even know how much the badge cost is anymore.
I think it's
$100.
Yeah, $90 if you get it before a certain time.
Yeah.
So it's hard to justify. And paying for every event on top of it.
I mean, it's not San Diego Comic-Con levels yet, but it's
getting
slowly
there.
Creeping pretty close.
Yeah.
It's expensive to go.
I definitely think if you're going, go see the Privateer Press booth to see Company of Iron demos, because I'm pretty sure they're running demos for that at the booth, and Company of Iron looks amazing.
Yeah.
I got to play a game of it at Lock and Load, and that was probably some of the most fun I've had playing War Machine in a long time.
Yeah, second goddamn time, Travis.
Before we're done.
I have to pick your brain on that, too, because the one thing I really wanted to have is more of like a Mordheim type thing.
Sure.
And that's what Company Iron kind of, it flucked that switch for a second, but it doesn't have any progression, from my understanding.
From what
match to match.
I didn't get to talk about that with them. I think it's something that if you wanted to, you could probably build it.
Sure.
It wouldn't be that hard because mm-hmm. you just give experience per guy or per battle and whatnot. And then you just work out an experience system at the end. It shouldn't be that hard. You can just give some perks to it. It shouldn't be like the game would facilitate that rather easily. The issue you run into is balance and point costs of things
sure.
get out of whack pretty quickly on that because I don't know how much you guys all know about what the Company of Iron rules on that.
My understanding of it is you're just basically building a 25-point force.
20 or 25, it's depending on which point size you want to do.
No war casters.
Correct.
All small or medium bases.
Yep.
So large, huge bases are out.
Yep.
And that's...
Can't play the cricket. Can't play the cricket.
Cannot play the cricket.
No,
yeah, no, that would rock.
Can't play the cricket to everything, David.
Not until they make a cricket for Grim.
You can't
sure it's down the fucking pike.
You can't play immobile models, and you cannot play weapon crews as well.
Okay, because a lot of them are actually man sized.
Correct. Almost all of them are man sized, yeah. But they end up breaking the game a little too much.
Sure.
And after playing it, I could definitely tell why. Mm-hmm. You're playing on a 30 by 30 rumble mat normally, and there's 9 to 12 pieces of terrain, I believe, on a default. Your commander is automatically a Jack Marshall, and if you're playing Hordes, your commander is a Beast Warden, which is equivalent to a Jack Marshall.
Oh, I thought there was a card you played for those.
There's an additional card in there to get two Jack Marshalls. And so there's six cards for your commanders.
Okay.
They each give your commander 5 wounds, and then on top of that give you a special ability. So one of them gives you can play two cards, you have a hand of cards that you can play each turn.
Sure.
And some of them allow you to play additional cards. Some of them allow you to play different stuff for scenario. One of them gives you the Jack Marshall Beast mm-hmm. Warden as an extra. I played one that gave me... What did my Ogre and Bakur have extra? Unyielding or something like that.
Okay.
So there's 6 base cards that each player gets to take one for their commander. And then it improves your commander model. So like the army I played when I played it, I had an Ogryn Bakur, Thor Steinhammer, a blaster, I believe, attached to Thor, and then a Min Horgenhold Forge Guard. And I think that came out to 25 points on the nose, or pretty close to 25
sounds
points.
About right.
And what ends up happening is each model activates independently. And so I move a model, then you move a model. There's 6 or 8 scenarios. I think there's only 6 that you roll off on and pick out who's the attacker and defender. And then each mission has a different objective. The one I think I had was a kill mission, so I didn't really get to see the scenario aspect of it, but there is a scenario aspect to it. When you kill a model, there's a roll to see if it's dead, wounded, or not affected. And so like there's almost like a save to try to shunt off things.
Sure, sure.
And tough gives you the ability to re-roll that roll.
Okay.
And so tough does have a benefit in the game.
Okay.
And so models don't necessarily die quickly. Like I've had models that were stuck, knocked down on the ground for multiple turns of just being like, they get up and they'd fall back down, get up and fall back down. And so there's cards that allow you to re-roll that sort of thing. Cards that let you boost, cards that, give you a special effect when within command range of your commander. It's actually really neat on how you do list building because it's such a small point value and you kind of want to take a warjack or a war beast, but you also sometimes don't want to. And so you can play it either way at that point. You just have to be able to plan around if there is a warjack, what do I do about that warjack? Because some lists can't handle a warjack. Like if you take an example, Daughters of the Flame list, and you just do all Daughters of Flame, they may not be able to handle a War Beast or a Warjack at all.
Yeah, like a War Beast with Armor 18. I mean, that's nice.
I think they have anatomical, so they might be fine if anatomical still exists.
They'd have to hit it like 22 times.
Exactly. So you have issues like that. Or it's just dealing with...
Warjack's going to have issues hitting the Daughters.
Um, Arctic Circle asked if Lesser Warjacks and Junior Warcasters are legal. I believe nothing with a Focus or Fury stat is legal. I believe.
So no juniors.
Yeah. No beast juniors, no beasts, no. She has a fury stat.
She's a
fury
stat. Oh, she is actually.
She has a fury stat.
Yeah, she is. Well, Legion's junior.
Because she used to not have the work.
She always had.
She didn't have it.
No, she had a fury stat.
Yeah. Yep. It's she just has that a battle. Fianna group. Never had fury.
Correct. She was a solo.
Fianna was a solo. Okay, so like you can use Fianna one, she's just a solo. Sure. But you can't use like a Beast Mistress or a Una one or whatever at that point.
Almost like a better with no characters.
So is Focus and Fury just basically out of it?
There's nothing in the game for that.
Can't take an Arcanist mechanic?
That's not a manipulation ability, though.
You can probably take, if you had a light Warjack, like one of the new, or not new, if you had like a Griffin or something like that, you can take an Arcanist and give it a Focus, and it would treat it just like you had a Jack Marshall giving a Focus to a Warjack inside the game. Hmm. So it has the same ability, but it's not necessarily like forcing or giving it focus as like a maintenance step to it. An interesting fact about everything on this is every model has its own maintenance step. So like you might light it on fire and it might not go out of fire for a really long time because sure. It might have started your turn, got lit on fire immediately afterwards, and on your next turn, your next round, then goes last, it could be on fire that entire time and have nothing happen to it.
Yeah, I can definitely see like figuring out which models you have already activated being
you need to put tokens problem. Out for that because yeah. It's there's you end up like you have FA1 on everything except for weapon attachments, which you can take up to their full purchase of, I believe. So you don't end up with things like before knowing the FA1 thing, I made a list of 20 or 30 Mechana Thralls because it feels good.
Yeah.
And so
for certain definitions,
correct. Yeah. For certain definitions is good. Yeah. And so you can't take more than one FA of things. So like you could take 10 Mechana Thralls, 3 Brute Thralls and a Scarlet Thrall. And that's a legit starting of a force. Mm. And then you can't take a second unit of Mechana Thralls.
Sure.
In addition that I found out, I didn't see how it fully played out because I didn't have a recursion mechanic with me when I played it. Recursion doesn't exist in the game. So like a Necrosurgeon does something different. She allows hand manipulation of your cards. So any recursion mechanic does hand manipulation of cards. I don't know how things like...
Twilight Sisters.
The Twilight Sisters are just a straight recursion mechanic like the Necrosurgeons. It's the equivalent of Bloodbound. Is it straight Bloodbound on the Hollow Men?
I have no fucking clue. I haven't played with them yet.
Okay. Whatever their version is of Bloodbound, I think it might just be Bloodbound.
What's Bloodbound do?
It's the I kill a model, I bring a model back in my unit.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that still exists, but I know like you can't bring Mechana Thralls into play with a Necrosurgeon.
So you can't make more Ghost Pirates.
Maybe I'm not sure those ones like those. That's where I don't know section is like Shanghai might allow you to, Black Bane's reanimation might allow you to, or reanimator, whatever it's called.
Cephalix, Drudges.
Correct. The prep for surgery might allow you to, it's amazing how many of these abilities actually know the names for. I had to make a list of all of them for something for an Infernal. So I was like, had to, Sentry Stones. The question was asked, Sentry Stones are illegal, right? They're mobile. They are illegal.
Yeah.
So you lose stuff like the Hellmouth. You lose stuff like Sentry Stones and Shifting Stones.
Racks.
Racks don't exist, correct. I don't know about Warcaster attachments or Warlock attachments. That's an iffy area because they have to be attached to something. I don't know how that really works.
I think I saw that they said they were not going to be allowed at least at first because they didn't know what to do with
them. It gets weird.
Yeah.
I would love to. I like the idea of this. I almost wish that there was a way that you could remove characters.
You could.
From there. Like you can play with Crow's Cutthroats. You could just play with Cutthroats and not actually have
play Crow with Crow.
In that way, you're kind of
the game,
building more of the character up of the...
The game feels loose enough that you can really do whatever to it without really affecting it too much. Because it just uses the base rules. Models that are stronger in the low point values, what they end up doing is they negate cards in your hand. So I think a Warjack on a whole is a -1 to your card size in your hand. So I think you start with 6 cards as your hand size, and then taking things like possibly high shields, Hammerfall high shields, might give you one or two cards extra because they're not as potent as other models.
I was just going to say, it's like, yeah, you put these in your army. You sorry sack of shit. Have two cards.
However, I think that the Hammerfall might actually have a good purpose in that. In that format,
with that combined range attack and only having a couple of them, that'll be real great.
We'll play some games eventually when it comes out. But there's models that you wouldn't never really think about making a crazy force with.
Black Ogryn list.
Some of those lists become very interesting with the format. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you really good versatility of playing stuff that you're normally not used to playing. And for a painting aspect, it's really cool for getting into a faction and painting something because you have a unit or two. Normally it's less than 20 models. You have a solo and possibly a warjack. Mm-hmm. Or it's two or three solos and possibly a warjack. So you end up with a really, easy list to paint and crank out, and gets you into a faction. And it's super cool for, like, I want to experiment with Doom Reavers. Well, you can make a sort of a Doom Reaver Grey Lord type thing where that's not, like, crazy expensive, and you can experiment with Doom Reavers and Grey Lords. Or it's, to me, it feels like it fits the themes really well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want to play Flame Guard. Here's Flame Guard. I want to play McCathrall's. Here's a McCathrall list. Sure. It's not hard to be like, I want to play this little theme, and you make a list for it, and it's really fast and easy.
Yeah, I'm hoping if it takes off well, which it sounds like it might, I'm really hoping some type of progression system overall. I hope they have some type of prototype of that in hand where they can release it in a timely basis.
You might see it in No Quarter Prime.
Okay.
Because No Quarter Prime's releasing content in the first one for Company of Iron.
Okay.
And so I don't remember if it was Oz told me. I forget if it was cards or if it was additional scenarios or things of that nature. So like a camp, like the thing that they want to avoid with Company of Iron is they want to avoid competitive Company of Iron. They don't want people to be like, this is how you play a 20-point list, and this is the best 20-point list you can come up with.
And that's why I think a progression system would be, they would completely pull that from competitive, because you don't want that type of variance in a competitive environment.
They want you to tell a story. They want you to be playing this. Like, what I could foresee being really cool with Company of Iron is you play effectively a narrative league. Mm-hmm. Like, how Privateer Press did the Battle for the Athink campaign, mm-hmm. where they had all the different players playing for the hexagonal shapes. Doing a map-based campaign with Company of Iron, I think, would be probably the most fun you could ever have with Company of Iron, because that would be legitimately fun. You don't need a ton of models. The games are fast. Learning the rules and playing the game took me less than 30 minutes. And so it's a fast game. It's a ton of fun. And you could do that sort of campaign where you put a progression around it. It's not that hard to put that sort of thing around it. They may not have one right off the bat, but if people homebrew cool enough ones, you'll crank one out without any effort. Looking between the IKRPGs and the base rules of the game, it's not hard to kind of figure out, well, this much XP would be this much for an ability plus one mat or plus one rat or whatever at that point.
Or like I have an experienced pikeman that they, they might be, have like an
ability
or like that on their attack.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we could do something like that. I know a guy that does an online game software.
Yeah, and it's not hard to do that sort of thing. I think the thing they want is people to innovate with this thing, because the core rules are, it's War Machine and Hordes plus a little bit more for activation order and a little bit more on how you kill models, because you don't want your models to just vap right off the table.
Yeah.
So it takes more effort to kill a model. Anatomical precision, I think, is really great. Grievous wounds, that effective thing where you remove tough, just auto kills models. So it's super good to play stuff like that. Yep. But like things like trencher commandos are really good. Mm-hmm. Amazingly enough, they're really good in that format because they're a little strike team. And so it's fun to have that sort of weirdness to it. And if you get a chance, go play it at Gen Con. Or at least, I don't know how their demos are going to work, but if they have demos, take part in them, because they're really cool.
I'll see if I can talk to somebody about doing an interview. Because I will be there on a press.
I think Oz is going to be there, so ask him.
Okay. I know Oz. Oz doesn't like me.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. We can all come.
Sure. But like, what I really want to do is I want to be able to play it. I don't know if they're going to give me the ability to have demos down in the event area or not. I was trying to convince them to let me play demos down in the event area because I think that'd be really cool to come down there and have Here's the Force and play a quick game of it.
It also would help that problem with the whole Gen Con down your neck through for because you're not utilizing table space often.
Correct. Yeah. And so it's like, I'm going to work on, like, I wish Company of Iron would be coming out at Lock and Load, because then I could run events at Gen Con to fill table space easily enough with it. Because it's not hard to be like, 10 people can play, have this little campaign and run through a quick campaign of Company of Iron. It would be a lot of fun, but it's just something that they're coming out in October. So.
Yeah, it seems, I mean, I'm sure we'll probably see preview copies there for it.
But I would hope so.
But it's because it's about the same time that when High Command was released. High Command was in October, but they still had a bunch of available at Gen Con. So I'm wondering if maybe
they might have it. They might have it. I'm not sure. If they do, that thing's going to sell it so fast.
Yeah.
I would love for it to be available to sell at Gen Con, but I have no idea.
If I was a PG, that's what I would expect to be as the working shifts for the weekend.
Because that's what we got routinely for the year was the board game.
Whatever was coming out.
Correct.
Oh, yay.
So Company of Iron is a lot of fun. I highly suggest anyone that plays War Machine Hordes, give it a try, because it's a ton of fun, and you can come up with so many different lists of different things you want to play, and like, I spent the entire flight back going, oh, let's wriggle together these things. And it is so hard to spend all your points in Company of Iron. Like, trying to optimize your list, just ignore doing that. Just be like, I got the 17 points, good enough.
I mean, I, as a faction pack rat, so I have, like, little bits and pieces. I have a lot of full factions, but I have a lot of bits and pieces of many others. Like, my Signar. I probably can't play a full 75-point force, but I have enough to fill up 25.
Absolutely.
Pretty dang easy.
Yeah, and I got like a Crixal in one box from way back when that I've never actually used. Now it's like, oh, okay, throw some Bane Warriors on the table. It'd be great.
Yeah. Like, I think the Crixalist I made was Mechanthral's Full Brutes, Scarlock, and a Necrosurgeon, and that either comes really close to 20 or slightly over 20. And it's like, oh, I can spend 2 points on like a Necrotech, and you have a list. And it's, you don't have, there's no thought involved on any of that. You're just like, unit, boom. And you fill out the solos, and it's super easy. So like, the Bane Warrior one's the same way. That one's actually really hard because the points values and the UAs don't make that one easy.
Because you
have to make some really tough decisions, like, do I take a min unit of Bane Warriors? Do I take a full unit with the officer? Do I take Tartarus? It's really hard. But like, if you decide to do no characters, then all of a sudden it gets easier. Like, oh, I'm going to take min and a UA and have 25 points or a jack or whatever at that point. I enjoyed it a ton. I thought it was really good.
It'd almost be neat to try to build like a basic trooper roster in a sense for each faction.
Yeah.
Where you could use that basic trooper option and then build your type of thing from there. So
yeah, like, you could have a progression weird, system on top of that.
Like a weird hybrid of, you want to have a Winter Guard guy that has a Doom Reaver sword.
Yeah.
I mean, or you could actually build into something like that. Yeah. That would be kind of...
I think like the IKRPG book would be great for that.
Correct. I agree with that, because I think the IKRPG offers a lot of that flexibility of being like, they've typed things and kind of given costs to things of like, what do you need to get? And so you can kind of come up with that where you're like, oh, this guy found... Or I think just narratively, this guy, you were fighting over this rune in the middle of your game and you came across an Orgoth weapon stash. All of a sudden you guys have Orgoth weapons and you have terror. Or you add whatever you want into it.
It's basically like what I really, really enjoyed about Mordheim is flat out. Is like you had that roster of things that you could buy and upkeep into your force, and then they slowly got more experience as you went on.
I don't think it's going to be a direct port for any of that, but Mordheim exists. Everyone, like, if you have the rules for it, it's not hard to be like, I like this idea, I'm going to take it and put it into Company of Iron.
No, I've got some ideas brewing now for trying to make something.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that, because I'd actually be interested in writing a campaign tracker for that.
Yeah, I think it's also something that it'd become interesting, because the thing I hate is trying to build a list inside War Room or Conflict Chamber to try to do this, because it's a pain in the ass. Because like, I can't add a jack to any of this stuff. I guess I'll add a caster and add jack in. which doesn't, it makes your points look really weird.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
or you add, or you actually take a legit Jack Marshall to add points in.
Are Jacks autonomous then?
They have to have a Jack Marshall.
Okay. Okay. So you,
and but your Beast Warden, your commander is automatically a Jack Marshall or a Beast Warden, whether or not they have the ability or not.
Okay.
So like the list I made, Thor actually is a command or a Jack Marshall, but the list I played against, I don't think Trencher Commandos are base Jack Marshalls, or the Master Gunner isn't. But like James had Commandos with the Master Gunner with a Grenadier as most of his list, if not all of it. But like that, the commander of his army became a Jack Marshall, so they can take whichever Jack they want.
Okay.
Like things like Stalkers are gonna be ridiculous in the format. Like there's so many good like light Jacks that are just crazy. I think Sprays become really useful in that sort of game because reaching out and being like, that model's knocked down, I'm gonna kill it now, is super important because that's how you have to kill them. I mean, you knock them down, then they can't tough again, and so then they go away.
Yeah. I think like Assault also becomes better because you have the +2 or +4 defense or whatever it is at over 8 inches.
Have also a plethora of attacks too.
Yeah, and it's +2 to the cover or it's concealment. I forget which one they give. Yeah. So attacks, so they try to mitigate how good ranged is in the game. If you're further than 8 inches away, you suffer a negative to shooting.
Okay.
And I don't remember precisely if there's like a feigned death for that far away or not. It didn't come up in our game, so I don't recall for sure if there's something like that. But like there's a negative for having all ranged because you have a harder time shooting stuff that's further away. And the table is supposed to be clogged full of terrain. And with that, don't feel like you have to take all Pathfinder stuff. There are cards that give Pathfinder out. So there's abilities to get Pathfinder in that. And more often than not, the board's so small anyway that like having the little bit of Pathfinder, or like I played, my Ruralic army didn't have any Pathfinder. I was still charging in forest. Yeah, exactly. I was charging in forests and trenches all day long and rough terrain because it just didn't matter. Like you're so tied up to someone that you're like, I charge halfway across the board with some models. Whatever at that point, you can get to whatever you need to get, and so you just have to kind of plan around it. It takes a little bit of getting used to because you can lose models really quick, and it's like, oh, I just lost 13 hit points worth of models without any effort. And so I enjoyed the game a ton.
Well, I'm intrigued, and I'll be checking it out once it comes out.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. If you're going to Gen Con, see a demo.
Yep. While we're on the topic of events and lists, just want to put out a quick plug here. If you are running a War Machine list, a War Machine tournament or event, and you're doing list pre-registration, drop me a line on Conflict Chamber, either from the email link on the front page or from the Facebook page, and I'll be happy to get you set up to do registration through Conflict Chamber, because I've been in a flurry of getting that part of the UI nice and robust for the Wisconsin Team Championship, and so it's just about ready for general use. But please, if you're running an event like that, drop me a line.
Yeah, it's so nice to have that thing set up. It's so good.
Yeah.
I can't speak highly enough of it for ATC. It made it so easy. And it's you don't have to do anything to submit, like share all the lists. Here they all are. Yep. Go look at them. It's really super simple.
See, this is some sort of strange penance for me for the type of lists I actually field on the table.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to say to yourself.
You can't bring the cricket to every single list. I mean, like, you're playing your protectorate, you can't bring the cricket. You're playing your
turns
cater,
out, though.
Can't bring the cricket.
If you make it so it can't shoot, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, just, there is
just
that.
Just putting that out there.
Stagger is a thing.
Yeah. Blinding light, you know?
Also a thing. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Come on.
You still have to get pretty damn close to do that.
Not
with Assyria,
no.
Not with
Assyria. Your chimera has got to get close enough.
Yep. Found that out firsthand yesterday.
It's good times.
Love the new battle engine changes. I can't speak highly enough about that. The CID that on battle engines was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Seeing battle engines everywhere now.
Yep. It's pretty cool, especially for a model that you didn't normally see that much, except for in a few factions. You saw the Trollblood War Wagon once in a while.
We have
Troll Jeff, and Troll Jeff likes to play a lot of things that would be considered non-competitive, So he, I mean, like, but some of his tech is actually pretty cool. So, like, he was playing the Glacier King, I believe it was, or the Moon King. I don't know which one, either one. But then he threw Skinners in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when with Surefoot on the Glacier King with Skinners in front, you can't really
do anything
with those Skinners or get up to them. It's
cool to see things like I saw the Storm Strider locally because Zach's in the local community for me. So I saw a ton of the Storm Strider because Haley too loves running a Storm Strider.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful with her now.
It's even better now. They got better. It was good before it got better, which I was shocked by because I'm like, I was telling Zach this before it went into CID. I'm like, your list is just going to get better. I'm super annoyed about it because the last thing I want is his list to get better. Yeah. But then they made my Searforge list just straight better, or Hammerstrike list. Well, Searforge, that's Mark II. But Hammerstrike just got straight better because the battle engine got better and they changed the theme. So like the Siege Crawler is ridiculous now.
Well, and I think this the thing about the Siege, or the thing about the Searforge or Gruulik stuff is that like the CID changes plus the battle engine changes make me think that you're never, ever, ever going to see Osram out of that theme force.
He's so good in it. He's amazing in it.
Now the one thing that stopped me from ever putting him in that theme force was that fucking gobber midget. I always wanted him on Osram all the time. I needed to take off stealth.
And I got with the battle engine.
And now I don't. Well, now the battle engine, and then I can get him in there too, or I could get Ion and Holt in there if I needed it too. Like it's just you'd never see Osram out of that theme force if those changes stick.
They don't change.
I thought they said they were going to experiment with Mercs getting it, which maybe. I think is kind of stupid that they didn't have it because it's just dumb.
That may be a future CID or something like that.
Correct. All that theme stuff got pushed further out.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how the Merc thing and minion thing is going to work out in the end.
Because there was a lot of, I mean, the uproar that a lot of us had, and I think a lot of folks out there had, was the fact that not everyone had their toys yet, and they were talking about changing everyone's toys. And that's good on Privateer for recognizing that and bumping it up.
Yeah.
I just think if it's good for the rest of the factions, it should be fine for Mercs. Unless the theme force comes out that completely breaks that thing open, because nothing, Reinhold being in that list or Lady Ion and Master Holt being in that list don't like completely break Osram open. They just make it so you actually see him in the theme list more often.
No, I agree with that. No, I'm just saying that about Privateer recognizing that, like, Scorn had one theme force out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
As compared to, like, Signar, which had three going on four coming out.
Kador's been pretty blessed with their theme forces.
Retribution has a...
They have good three good ones.
Yeah, yep. So, I mean, a lot of them out there had a ton of theme forces already, and, you know, some folks don't have as many. And... I'm glad that they pushed it to test it with a better base later on.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that the non Merc minion COC lists all at least got spoiled. Some list of themes, and it'd be nice to see more for the Mercs and minions, of course. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. The new Scorn theme list looks awesome.
Yeah. The exalted one, yeah. That
one's the one where you can take a minion beast.
Disciples of Agony. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Disciples one. Mm-hmm. That one's good too.
Which is neat. I got minions. I got a couple Scorn casters. I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, Rick bought into Scorn, so...
Yeah.
I think the future of Theme Force is going to be really good for everyone.
Yeah.
It seems like the path that they're going, which is fine. I mean, and as long as everyone has got equal amount of toys to those, then we're sitting at a nice time.
I think this is a good way to handle it, because I mean realistically the game is very mature. Mm-hmm. It is very complex, and it's actually if I may geek out as a computer science theorist here, the complexity curve is greater than exponential for balancing that.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to come down to sub factions at some point. Mm-hmm. And theme lists are how they implement that. So we've got a system where you can see more stuff on the table because they fixed a lot of stuff that wasn't seeing play beforehand. And they can use this to actually grow the game with interesting options.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think this is about the best you're going to see for something like this, to have a game as large as War Machine keep growing. Yeah, I think that's really cool.
And the cool thing that they also said is every model will be available in the Theme Force Yep. I don't know if they said it was within the year or within the next.
I thought they said December. 6 months or something. Yeah, like that.
I think by December is when they said that.
Well, they said they weren't targeting that.
Targeting. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. like it's, yeah, it's not set in stone, but there's definitely a target for it.
If no, it's set in stone. I heard it. They said it.
If there's one thing.
We're going to get out the torches and pitchforks if it doesn't happen now.
Yeah, Privateer Press has the overarching theme of flexible. Is kind of the name of their game right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of the moaning of Privateer Press is coming from, at least from the folks that I hang around with, where anyone who's upset with the game right now, it's has a lot more to do with the fluidity of how the changes have been coming. It's like they launch Mark III, and it's not the greatest launch that ever happened. And sure. They've the changes that have been made and so many that have been started and then gone back on, and then it doesn't seem like it was like they were having daily meetings, you know, figuring out what do we want to do, what's the direction we want to go in. And it was really hard as a player to have that kind of like instability in the game. Yeah. So now I think the thing is like in 6 months, I think the game's going to be back to being an amazing game, but right now it just feels a little funky.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of hiccups in the release, but honestly, since they hired Pagani, I think everything they've done has been a good decision since then.
I don't think it's directly really.
Well, I mean,
he'll take credit.
I'm sure he'll be happy to take credit for it, but it was like at that time, since they announced that they were hiring Pagani and they made a couple of the changes in the direction for development and such, that all the decisions since then seem to have been pretty good.
The way I picture War Machine in a theoretical sense, or Privateer Press in a theoretical sense, is like, the War Machine is a pot of boiling water, and Privateer Press tried to grab it from the sides so many times to figure out where it was that it wasn't going to burn them, that they're starting to find the handle finally.
Yeah.
And that's the effects of that are starting to trickle out to the rest of the community. Because the one of the big things is, like, for me with Grimkin, I hate that fucking faction so much. I hate the way it looks. I hate the way they name it. I hate it.
I thought you were playing Grimkin.
I'm hate fucking it. So like, okay. one of the things that is legit about it is that I feel like the Grimkin faction as a whole is like, this is the way Privateer Press is going to envision War Machine in the future. Like, everybody's going to have this kind of set, because there's no reason to build a Grimkin list out of theme. Yeah. Not one. Mm-hmm. There's, if you want to give me some kind of weird corner case reason to not do it, sure, but I'll take free Gremlin Swarms and free Kravitz, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I just, there's very, very few legitimate reasons to take a list out of theme.
So Eilish Garrity is the only reason.
If I may, sure, if I may rant very briefly, that single Krabbit in the theme list has been the single most obnoxious thing to implement in Conflict Chamber for the entirety of Mark III.
It screwed over War Room as well, so yeah, it hit everything wrong.
100-point Krabbit.
It's that one single Krabbit that has been the most hair pulling thing I have done in Mark III.
I think since they like unveiled Grimkin, I hated it so much. I was like, get Malifaux out of my game, and it was so frustrating.
I'm gonna rage at you so hard.
You can Malifaux. I will unpack my Illuminati triangle of connection on you.
Grimkin has been in the game way longer than Malifaux has even existed.
You calm down, nerd. You don't need to start me on why there's a dreamer that brings out little nightmare things that interact in the game, and there's also a child that in Malifaux is the dreamer, but the child is something different. Like, don't get me started.
You do realize they both use the same story basis of the Grimm fairy tales, right?
But they probably just like...
You're aware that some you can take inspiration from the thing. Like, they don't take inspiration from Malifaux. You can take inspiration
from other game companies.
You can take it from the base source material and play it that way. And you're aware that, like, Glimmer Imps have been in the game forever.
God,
and,
like, I can't believe I bought a fucking model named a Glimmer Imp. God damn it.
But his page in the book is so good.
It is probably the best page in that book. The Gremlin Swarm and the Glimmer Imp are probably the two best pages. Yeah.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that I think that this is where the game's direction is going, and the faction's still fun to play, as hard as that is to admit. But, like,
you really don't want to admit that. Skin and
Moans is going to charge you.
That's the best thing ever.
God damn it. God damn. Oh, I said Cage Rager the other day. Yeah. Like, just like casually, my Cage Rager's finally got a corpse token, and somebody's just like screaming like WWE bullshit behind me. I'm like, motherfucker. It's like, you,
why do you play at an immature game store?
It's, no, it's just the one person who was there. But man, it's a hard faction to swallow. But I'm having fun with it regardless.
So Andy, we're going to, this going on the topic list as nerd fight.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That was Travis's rage.
So like almost all of the Grimkin type stuff has been in the game for a long time.
Yeah, if you're like, if you're somebody who's sunk into the lore, sure. But like at the face value, where the lay player is going to be the, looking
the lazy,
at it,
the lazy storyline looking ones.
I walk into a game store and sure. I see that on the shelf.
I fully agree
and
with
I
that.
See yes. that on the shelf. It's going to draw a comparison.
Even sure. when I went to Pegasus, the first thing the lady said when I plopped down my Glimmer Imp on the counter.
You shouldn't do that at a store or in public.
I know, yeah.
Just keep it in your pants. Keep your Glimmer Imp in your pants.
I got something else, too. I can't remember what it was. But at any rate, was it I plopped that solos? Down, and it was the first thing she said was, like, I'm really interested to see how this competes with Malifaux. I was like, okay, sure.
Sure. I understand. I'm not disagreeing with you that there is definitely a comparison.
It but is going to... And the way the Arcana cards work into that, like, Malifaux is more card play, and then when you're talking about a Company of Iron with card play sure. and alternating activation, I'm just like, there's a lot of, like, I get that Charlie feeling from, like, Always Sunny.
You look at what's happened in the miniature gaming in the last 10 years. It's went from rank and file, 40K type stuff, to skirmish and smaller.
40K has always been skirmish.
40K has always been...
40K has not been skirmish.
Yeah. 40K has never had rank and file.
40K is... whatever. You go from fantasy... You go the size of the game. You've got massive models. You got 100-plus models to 10 models.
Yeah.
That's the change.
When you're thinking skirmish...
Fantasy, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't play either of those games. It doesn't matter.
Those definitions are all fluid anyway.
Exactly. I'm not trying to... Sure, whatever. They're all.
You assume my game size.
Whatever. You go from very large model count games to very small model count games. The evolution of everything has been to the smaller model count games because it's an easier entry to get into. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to go buy my 40K Harlequin army, and sure, I buy 30 models, but it takes forever to paint them because they're insane. Or I buy 200 models of Nurglings or whatever.
However, one of the quickest growing games in a new community is 40K, believe it or not.
Yeah, because it's easy to get into and buy one of the little boxes and play because the power level is amazing.
And at least, I mean, when they introduced the Grimkin, it was in the lore and it wasn't like in 40K when for 8th edition, they were like, oh, hey, we found Space Marines. They're a foot taller.
The Primaris Space Marine. That's the funniest, like, yes. topic of the year is just the Primaris things. Like, everybody's like, Fabius has been working on these things for 10,000 years, and then Gulliman just shows up and nuts in a cup, and then boom, we got Primaris Space Marines.
It's okay. They're ready for production. Just send them out there. They'll be fine.
Give them to everybody. Yep. Oh, man. Goddamn.
Malifaux. No.
No, I'm fine with it. Like, if they want to, if Souls wants to work for weird in a fantasy way, that's cool. It's fine.
It's not anywhere the same. It's nothing the same.
I don't know, man.
To preface that Brian doesn't mean anything he's saying.
Maybe I do and maybe I don't. But the opinions of Brian Kerr don't reflect the opinions of Crippled System.
Yes, this is the opinions of somebody that both hates Grimkin and just bought a Grimkin army.
So. I bought two of those goddamn core boxes. Two and I've core almost boxes. Got the whole faction filled out. So
yeah, you don't need to buy much more than that.
No, you don't. Yeah, no, there's
it's,
not much.
It's...
And that's kind of actually the really nice thing going forward when they're talking about adding just a new faction is that all you have to do is just buy that, and then you're done. You're ready. You could double up on a couple models if you feel like it on there. But
you think
Brian Giese got out of Hordes. He's basically got rid of almost all the Scorn now. But he's been at least talking to me, but I don't know if this is very true or not. But he was talking. He's like, you know, I might be interested in picking up just one of those type of factions in the future.
Yeah.
And then you might buy another model a year or two from now if they release something new for it.
Like small Grimkin, real estate. Grimkin's going to have to buy Holden eventually.
Yeah.
Holden's going to have to come out as a Grimkin model. Eventually they're going to have to buy one model. The thing that they have to remember is it's not... it may be similar to Convergence on how Convergence had the release schedule.
Yeah.
Like, you're not guaranteed anything on it. Because
not guaranteed, but you might get something down the line. Correct. As long as you go into it knowing that, then you should be set.
Correct.
It's something that I think should have been a gigantic big star on all the Convergence models that sure. says limited faction.
Well, and the thing was, is most great. People who picked it up knew it was a limited faction, but they just never knew the interpretation of that was you will not see anything for 4 years.
Has it already been 4 years?
I think
yeah,
so.
It's been pretty close to it, yeah. So they were at lock and load, like,
and you can argue the Prime Conflux yeah. was mm-hmm. new, but it was whatever, it's the same kit.
Well, Prime Conflux was a
people,
big surprise.
People too. Ignore no that, though. That. Mm-hmm. People like to ignore the Prime Conflux as not a new model.
I think it's mostly because it's hard to function in the army currently.
Sure. It has buffs that don't really buff the whole army.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's kind of an odd duck. Plus, the Prime Axiom is so much better. You can say yeah. you do well with the Prime Conflux, and you can say that you like the Prime Conflux better, but it's also a right to be wrong. Because the Prime Axiom is the better version of those. It's going to echo against more casters in that army.
So here's the thing, and this is with War Machine Hordes in general. You're going to notice this a lot coming forward. Things have a niche. And you have to look at this one model won't be great in everything. And some things might be better in a wider breadth than others. But everything has its niche. And so... like the Prime Conflux and Prime Axiom debate really doesn't need to exist, because if you find good uses of the Conflux, that's fine. They're not trying to sell you a model that is going to have 100% usage.
I understand. It doesn't need to be 100% useful. I just think there's so much more synergy with the or with the Axiom mm-hmm. than there is with the Conflux in that.
I agree with that. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing on that aspect. It's just the thing, like if someone finds a list that, hey, like this one model works really well for me in this one list, well, you can't really discard that as
it just seems fact. More marketable and better to, like the Helios versus Hyperion thing. The Helios is great in a lot of lists, mm-hmm. and Hyperion is great in a lot of lists, but the Conflux, mm-hmm. it's like, maybe one.
Sure. And I think that's releases. I think if Convergence got more electrical releases, you'd have a debate for both.
Which I think if over those 4 years they had a release or two each year, then this argument wouldn't even be
probably
being had. But with the Grimkin stuff, it seems like they're saying every faction is going to get something every year. I don't know if that echoes to
I don't know if it's every faction getting something every year.
Gotcha.
Because, like, for sure, the 12 factions of Christmas is every faction getting something this year. Because mm-hmm. it's
but unlikely. But there will be more than 12 factions next year.
Correct. Yeah. And so who knows what's going to happen next year if everything is going to get one, because we know Crucible Guard's coming out. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if, like, we don't know what the release schedule is for everything else past that. We just don't know.
Yeah.
And so I'd assume that you'd see stuff for a month or two, but you know, might not see the same breadth of releases as we're seeing currently for some things.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just happy with the way that army functions right now. Yeah. And it's easy to, like, because I've been vacationing in a bunch of other games right mm-hmm. now. So, like, when I put down War Machine for a little bit and play, like, Age of Sigmar, 40K, or Guild Ball, I can come back to one of those smaller armies and be like, okay, yeah, I only have, like, two heavies I really need to remember.
Correct.
And, you know, a couple solos here and there. But then when I go back, I look at my three levels of shelves worth of Kador stuff, and I'm like, where the fuck do I start?
It is hard. And I like the aspect that you can, when you're playing, you'd be like, make a common assumption on this. You're going to have four or five casters. You're going to have two to three heavies. Mm-hmm. You're going to have four to five lights, possibly. Three or four units and five or six solos. That's an army. That's yeah. a full collection at that point. That's not hard to learn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to make lists off of that. And it's helpful for getting new players in, where you can be like, play this faction. Okay, here's what it is.
Well, and other than Kravitz, it doesn't seem like there's much of a reason to do like the skew or spam in Grimkin. Like, you're not mm-hmm. going to need more than three skin and moans most of the time.
Sure. No heavy spam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think light spam's still a thing, because I'm planning on buying 8 Frightmares and 8 Rattlers.
Well, yeah, the Frightmares are a different beast.
Because I think the Dreamer with Rattlers and King Nothing with Frightmares mm-hmm. does the skew both ways.
Yeah. King of Nothing is going to be so good in the Ghost Fleet.
I've just never faced Grimkin yet.
Sure. There's so much stuff that's good in the Ghost Fleet. I'm so excited mm-hmm. to solve the Ghost Fleet problem once Old Witch 3 comes out.
I know. That's like...
It's solved.
I just don't have a problem with it.
So how does Old Witch 3
help? Old Witch 3 solves the Ghost Fleet problem, because You can never shoot her. She always casts Wind Blast at range 18. So nothing can ever shoot her army, and she's fast enough to be in the front of her army and not really be threatened by everything else. Mm-hmm. Then the Skin and Moans and the Dreadrots both have remove from play on their attacks. Mm-hmm. So they gather the corpses, I forget what the name of the Dreadrots' bag ability is. It might just be Bagman. Their Bagman, and then the Skin and Moans' Bone Picker ability. Mm-hmm. They're all RFP. So by nature, you're RFPing every model that of the Grimkin off, so you solve the recursion issue. Then you have Wraithbane in the Cage Rager. So if you take a Cage Rager, you have that problem solved. And then you're still in theme, and they can never shoot you. And then when you need to blow up on their feet, you just blow up on their feet. Mm-hmm. And so it just like Old Witch 3 and Wanderer solve the problem so well. And it's going to be so great watching people just lose their mind when Old Witch 3 just solves the problem. Mm-hmm. And Old Witch 3 might actually solve, or Old Witch 2 might solve the problem for Kador as well, Indigo's fleet. Mm-hmm. I haven't mathed that one out, because like they don't have a War Beast or a Warjack that auto RFPs models, and they don't have a unit that auto, or they don't have a 10-man unit that auto RFPs models.
But Kador has things that can remove a lot more models too.
Correct. So like you can attempt to win the game just by being a bully with that list. And that's the thing I love most about Old Witch 3. She is such a bully, because both her attacks and herself is a bully of a caster, and you can't dislodge her once she gets going. Mm-hmm. And
don't get her near any heat sources though.
She will topple over, yes. No, she's a resin model. Don't like, none of your battle engines and none of your colossals should anywhere be near heat sources. I've seen a Wraith engine that's tipped over, basically his hands are touching the front of the base. It's like, why'd you do that? I left him in the car for an hour. Why'd you leave him in the car for an hour?
Yeah, my Demaker 3 was in a car for 20 minutes and
tipped over, yeah.
She was rustic, though. She's plastic.
Yeah, she's
I think she's, I don't know if
she's garbage Fenblade plastic.
I don't recall. She might have been.
She's a soft plastic.
I've built three of those goddamn things. So
I know mine has a warped wing, and it actually looks cooler because it has a warped wing.
Well, it's a little derpy, so you know. It's like your Danega 3 is like Little Nemo.
It's not a little wing. It's the same size as everything else.
It would be nice to pull that wing out and put a hairier wing in there.
Like just a little tiny.
Yeah, just a little hairier.
Actually, make Little Nemo. No, you
can put it in scavenger wings.
That's the same.
No, a Harrier is...
Harrier's just smaller.
Oh, just okay.
Scavenger wings, so
you can either do Terminus's wings, which would still look like Nemo, because one of those wings is still tiny compared to the other one. You could do a Scavenger or a Scavenger...
Shrike.
Yeah. So you can do one of those three. If you really want the disparity between the really tiny one and the big one, you could do that, or you can just do Terminus Wing and Terminus Wing.
Or you could put a giant arm there, and you can have Danega riding Trogdor.
Yeah. Sure.
Even, just to get back on the Grimkin killing Ghost Fleet thing, even like anyone who's in Dark Menagerie has really good game into it. Absolutely. Because you can shut down the gunshots that are probably going to... Those are the ones that are going to hurt you the most. Like, I think a lot of when people go for the kill with Ghost Fleet, at least an assassination run, when you're putting on pressure, no army can really chew through that many shield guards and still assassinate you.
And if you really need to, you take the I forget what the name of it is, the no spell arcana, or the negate your spell.
Is that ruin?
I think it might be ruin. Yeah. It's one of them. It's you negate a spell that's cast at you, so you basically arcane vortex a spell away. That Scourge that's coming in on you is a really good one to get rid of.
Yeah, because she can't cast it twice unless she's got souls.
Correct. And she shouldn't, hopefully, with your list. She might, but she shouldn't. And so you can prevent a lot of things by being like, I'm going to take the Arcana that prevent you from doing cool things to me, as well as playing casters that really prevent you from doing really awesome things. And just having Skin and Moans and Dreadrots in faction that eliminate Revenant crew is amazing. It's really good. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I started thinking about, I'm like, how do I make a Ghost Fleet counter? And then it's the same problem. How do you make a Kane 3 counter? It turns out the two really good casters for Kane 3, Old Witch and Wanderer.
Yeah, you're solving for a lot of stuff, like the Winter Guard list.
Vlad, you solve Vlad.
Yeah.
They can't shoot you because they're too far away. It's like, you can't be shot and you can't be affected by anything. And it starts, you're just like, I'm going to start steamrolling you.
Yeah.
And being able to extend the threat with
with Boundless Charge. She has Boundless Charge.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I thought she lost it, but
nope, she has Boundless.
But that one, like when they get close enough to start being able to shoot you, you're able to just charge off or maybe even cut them off depending on what the ranges are.
Yep.
I hadn't thought too much about it.
It's the Old Witch is basically perfectly designed to fight a ranged army, mm-hmm. and that's all the rage right now. So it's going to fight Kaelissa. It's going to wreck Kaelissa. It's going to wreck Kane 3. It's going to wreck Kara. Kara can't fight it.
No, she can't.
It's going to wreck Ghost Fleet because it's just going to remove everything that's good about Ghost Fleet. It's gone. Mm-hmm. It's like you're just going to win the game off of, like, you have like four things that are going to win you the game base, and you have a whole rest of your army yet. It's so much fun that the list is just like, I'm just going to take extra stuff because I can. Like, I had a unit of Hollowmen in my Old Witch 3 list that did nothing all game. They shot two CRAs and that's it. And I was like, I'm playing 14 or 15 points on whatever the heck they cost. It didn't matter because I was just shutting everything else down because you can't shoot that list.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Heretic, too, the one that's out right now, he has such a phenomenal attrition game.
Yeah.
Like, I've been playing him with double piggyback units and double dreadrots because I want to get mileage out of Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start getting to a point where you can start getting spells out there, like being able to clip corpses from onto the death knell, and then shuffle those off to my lone Cage Rager so I can start arcing Rebuke and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bunch of neat tricks with this attrition-y based caster, especially when you add in the Twilight Sisters, because they bring piggybacks easy. Or they bring them back, and they just make them more frustrating for your opponent. But then having the Arcana on top of it, like, there's nothing more frustrating than playing against an attrition list and trying to solve for the pressure that they're putting on you, and then having your solving method get screwed up because of the Arcana. Like, you have to pay a lot of attention to the game and what your opponent has in order to try and fight through that attrition.
I think where you're going to tell the truly skilled players for both for and against a Grimkin army is how a player deals with Arcana and how a Grimkin player picks their Arcana. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the truly skilled opponent is going to be able to say, you've picked Arcana that are really good against me, but I know how to fight that, and I know how to beat that, versus the I'm picking Arcana that are going to be effective no matter what, and the proper timing of it, and which one you use, and everything like that. That's going to show that skill eventually. Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned something on Lost Aspect that you probably should mention again.
Yeah, I think that everyone should read every Arcana card. If you want to skip over the Grimkin because you hate everything about them, read the Arcana cards at least. Like, you need to be super familiar with them and be familiar about with which caster brings what. Like, I played my first game with Grimkin was my Heretic list into Ron with two Helios.
Mm-hmm.
And that game is horribly tilted in my favor. But because, you know, like, first the Heretic's sacred warded, so he can't be pulled in by Ron and assassinated that way.
Yep.
The other thing is, like, my opponent was thinking, oh, I can just attrition you through the double Colossals. And, like, piggybacks, they go to POW 15 when they charge. They go to POW 18 when they have Fury on them. And then if Reckoning gets put up, they go to POW 21. Or POW 20, sorry.
Yeah,
and then the Dreadrots are in the same scenario where it's just down a little bit, but with Weapon Masters. And I on the turn that I Reckoned, or triggered Reckoning, I waterfalled through two Mega Mittens, a Discordia, a Helios, and two boxes away from the second Helios.
Yep.
That was just in one turn.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And you don't expect that when you look at a list like that.
Army-wide prey is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was intense. So you have to pay a lot of attention to those. Especially, I think the one that's probably going to be more iconic for people is when the King of Nothing starts hitting. Like, his Taste of Ash is really going to get you. Because if you shoot him from 15 inches away, boom, D3 models getting hit with a POW 10.
It feels...
Or POW 12.
It feels not as good as the others, but that's what's deceptive about it.
Exactly.
Because
you can dig deep on those too, and like, oh yeah, my wild solo on the side here pops your dude, and then you're just you shield guard to something that is now measured off of for the nearest model.
Yep.
So you can deflect that and go into something different. Like, there's a lot of
I can really kill your models that haven't activated yet.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of things to be aware of and how they actually work within that army. So that's 100% my best advice for anyone who's worried about trying to figure out Grimkin or thinking there's some kind of crazy negative play experience, is just familiarize yourself with the Arcana and really dig into it. And that's going to give you a lot of he's going to give you a leg up on them a little bit.
I know it's a scheduling thing, but do you want to mess around with doing a Grimkin cast?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I would do one of those. We haven't done an actual all-in-one inclusive cast in a long time.
Yeah, I could get some more games under my belt, play with some of the casters that I haven't yet, like the Wanderer. He's just really
The Wanderer and the strange. King of Nothing are the two, like, the Dreamer can be straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
You can manifest destiny, you can do weird things with terrain and everything like that. Heretic is one, are kind of straightforward. You can attrition and you
they
can
could, They couldn't have picked a better caster for that box.
That's a great starter set. King of Nothing is super weird. Wanderer is super weird. Old Witch is rather straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
She has versatility, but she's versatility to a key.
She's formulaic, I think, in a sense.
Yeah, because she had to be for both. And so she ends up being kind of, you can figure her out.
And having a feat makes it a lot easier.
Correct. Okay. Child is not the hardest caster to figure out in the game.
She is the most ham-fisted character in Grimkin.
Punch it in the face.
Scott Beast, send them that way.
Abuse everything, go beat face more.
Yep.
So it's like you've got a bunch of casters that are really simple. Or not simple, but their themes are straightforward. And they're understandable. King of Nothings and the Wanderers is not anywhere the same level of trying to figure out. You don't know, like, Wanderers all over the table. Fancy that.
Yep.
And then King of Nothing is also all over the table doing radically weird things.
He's also a very unforgiving caster.
He's the highest skill cap caster, I think, in that faction.
Anything that's 13-13 is...
also makes everything around him
worse.
That's like, I saw somebody like, oh, put a death knell in my King of Nothing list. I'm like, oh...
No, don't do that. That's the wrong idea. Yep, you want stuff to die.
So we should try to wind this up here. We want to try to close out by 7 o'clock.
Sure.
What time is it now?
It's 6:32.
Oh, hey, look at that.
No, I'm good gushing over. My Grimkin gush is completed.
Uh-huh. My apologies for absorbing most of the cast. I don't think you guys got much things to talk
that's
about.
That's perfectly fine.
Travis,
we have our quick zappity grumbles. We'll try to actually keep them short and easy. There's a couple that will happen on through chat. which is actually right there.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead and talk about the ones that are over on Facebook here. Somebody was asking, how much do you contribute to the CID? And are you on playing Grimkin? Impressions?
Well, we made really clear. I think, except for, do you guys have any, like, negative impressions or anything? Yeah.
So, I mean, I will get into Grimkin at some point because it combines my love of dark fairy tales and the Old Witch into one thing. So, at some point, I'll be getting it.
Have you done CID stuff?
I've done a little bit of CID stuff, mostly just the steamroller and testing out the AFG. I haven't been very involved in that. Felt very like I'll play against other people doing CID stuff, but I don't feel any real compulsion to do it until one of my armies comes up.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think since CID started, 75% of the games I played were CID on one end or the other.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in yours, but in general.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, at the local shop, just about everybody that has something cool in CID plays it.
Yep, and if your neat stuff is neat, then you want to put it down.
Yeah, and I think the majority of the games I played since it started, if I wasn't running CID stuff, the guy I was playing was running CID stuff. And I mean, I've been keeping up with it because I try to keep Conflict Chamber updated as soon as the new CID stuff hits.
I think, on a whole, if I have the opportunity to play a CID game, I will. And if something has, my opponent has stuff, I'll play against them. I have no qualms one way or another. Mm-hmm. On a whole, I interact with CID different than normal. So I have influence on it. So I end up talking about the rules more than playing games for it.
I can't stand CID. Can't stand it at all. I hate testing. For the first time in my life, I feel like one of those people who's seeing their food being made and getting sick from it.
Sure.
Like, I hate living in two realities in my games. Sure. So when I go to my local game night, it's like, well, let's play 2017. I'm like, I got a tournament next week that's 2016, and I got to make sure that all this shit's right in my head. Mm-hmm. And I don't appreciate the CID process, but that's just me. It's not built for me. For someone like Dave, who's more interested in the inner workings of things and how they get put together, that's the type of person it appeals to, but I have zero interest in testing.
I think you bring up an excellent point, though. People need to remember that you don't have to participate in CID.
Yeah, I don't.
Your store, no. Your meta, your group does not have to participate in CID.
Correct.
You have the option of doing so. And so you should respect the opinions of people who do not want to participate in it. That, hey, look, I've got this plan. I'm not going to be able to see this stuff. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to play the regular stuff, the release stuff, and not play CID stuff. You do not have to participate in CID. It's there to give people the option that want to participate the ability to do so.
Yes, correct. And let those poor, long-suffering Signar players deal with their Stormlances for a little bit longer.
Sure.
Smoke them while you know.
I have not really participated that much in the CID. I felt like I wanted to help people improve their testing for it, so I was really heavy into the Grimkin CID. I basically made test cards for everybody for that. Mm-hmm. Battle Engines as well. The other two ones, the Crix and the
Trencher and the Trollbloods are the other two.
And the Trollbloods.
Yeah.
I don't have a vested interest in those, so that's kind of the reason why I haven't been like actively trying to make cards for them.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It was... Doing the whole faction's worth, basically, with the Grimkin every week was troublesome.
Yeah.
The Battle Engines wasn't so bad. It's kind of cool. I was able to flesh out some of my graphic chops, doing like adding separate FA2 grid boxes on there, and then seeing what they actually came out with was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think it's a great environment. I won't mind playing against it. If something that I like is in it, I'll probably play it. I just wish people would remember that it is not official. It's when they make changes from week to week, they are making things to a test environment. It's not a nerf.
They're investigating.
They're seeing how things work. It's basically putting in a bunch of feelers out there and like, whoa, that was too crazy. Okay, well, let's do this. I mean, it's a test environment. It isn't, your models are getting nerfed. It's not your everything's getting a buff. It's a test environment.
If you are trying to plan your spending habits around CID, you're doing it wrong.
Do not do that. Yeah,
but
I don't care what you say.
That's why I bought 2 crickets.
Sure, that's legitimate. buying things that you're like, well, no matter what, the battle engines are getting better. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going out and saying, well, Gremlin Swarms are FA5. I'm just going to buy 5 of them off the bat. You probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, 4 was fine.
4 is absolutely fine. Yeah. 4 is 100% fine.
All I know is as soon as they make Bombardiers good again, or, you know, good for the first time,
yeah,
totally just buying all
some of people
them.
Only need the breeze to shift to get pushed over the edge.
Yep.
All right, so Ebony Crubble, let's try to speed this up. Would you do a Twilight Imperium live stream? Somebody would like it.
Who in this room plays Twilight Imperium?
Huh?
David?
You don't play Twilight
Imperium?
You should play Twilight Imperium.
Man, one of my favorite gaming experiences was playing an 8-hour game of Twilight Experience at a friend of mine's bachelor party. We resolved the game, and the day after it, he looked up at the rules and said, oh, Dave, you won. So I said, that's the absolute best way to win a game is on a technicality the day after.
it's just a very long game. So, yeah. I mean... generally, a live stream would not be bad if there's enough alcohol
breaks
involved
and breaks.
Mm-hmm. And folks playing it. It'd be something we could do in our dungeon.
I've seen like a live stream of Twilight Imperium, yeah. So like people do it.
All right, Stephanie Crumble. How mother flippin' excited are you that Sorcha the Woman Gnome Warcaster?
The what?
Manowar.
Manowar.
Okay. I'm super stoked for Sorcha 3 and Manowar armor. Super stoked.
It looks awesome.
Honestly, Kador, along with Grimkin is like one of the only factions that I just look at and was like, I'm not interested in. I like everything except Kador and Grimkin.
I hate you at a very personal
you,
level now.
I just want to say. Podcast anymore. Does that make Crumble? What do you think of the Muse Infinity podcast? Have any of you ever tried Infinity? Thoughts of the game?
One of the games I vacation in is Infinity, so I played in a local league here.
Keep it quick.
I play it. I haven't listened to their podcast. I only listened to a couple. but I should listen to this one.
So I'm on the other fence. I listened to the podcast, but I've never actually played Infinity, because I was kind of hoping to learn a little bit about the game, and I had no idea what they were talking about.
Maya Cast is a good one. They kind of ease you in.
Yeah, one of the locals is trying to get me involved in it, and I'll probably pick up some models at some point.
It looks like an amazingly beautiful game. Yeah. I like the skirmish through a cityscape type gameplay.
It feels a little.
So many other games.
And there's lots of math, and I like that.
I don't like math.
Math.
Lots of math.
Math.
You can enjoy your math and your math.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't want to mix those two.
Math in your math.
Yeah. Myth and math don't necessarily work all that well together, but math is good.
Zebedee. Grumble. What to look in a good Chinese food place? Quantity for the price, or strictly quality?
I'm all over quality.
Quality.
It's whether or not they use celery in any of their dishes, because if they do, just don't go there ever.
Really?
Yeah.
There are certain...
Because it's just a filler vegetable. Sure. It doesn't actually add anything to it. And I've found a major correlation between
bad ones and celery.
Cheap Chinese restaurants and bad ones.
Okay. If you're ever in Baraboo, go to Wok King.
Wok King?
They use celery, and it's phenomenal stuff.
All right, it might make my entire paradigm go out the window. We'll see.
Yep.
The puns on Chinese names for restaurant names, or even Asian restaurant names, Bo. Just bothers the
heck out of me. Anything with pho is...
Yeah, Bo King.
Well, that was one. I mean, I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, and one of the big Chinese places there was, I know it's only Wok and Go, but I like it.
Exactly.
Zebedee, grumble. Thoughts on Vassal?
It's always been clunky for me. I don't like it.
I have a hard time playing.
I tried once or twice and never went back.
The games take too long, and I'd rather put my models out.
I haven't had enough time to write a replacement for it yet. So
nice.
I'm excited that they have a Who's the Boss option for it too. So that's interesting. That's cool. I haven't played it. I really like face to face gaming.
Yeah,
I mean that's so much better than. Like Blood Bowl, the Blood Bowl game is a direct correlation of the tabletop game, but playing online version of it as compared to going back and forth,
yeah.
it's just not fun.
No, I mean fundamentally, I mean I think that's one of the main reasons I love tabletop gaming. I know a lot of people do, is specifically because it is not online gaming.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Because you go out and you talk to people, and then you go out and have beers afterwards. Absolutely. And just enjoy it. And instead of just sitting there in a small, cold, dark space.
I'd like if you're
that's
doing
what I use Overwatch
if
for.
You're doing Blood Bowl face to face, like you had a camera thing set up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would improve the game of that, probably.
Well, it doesn't change the fact that they could just be a dick on the
sure,
other side.
Sure, absolutely. But it should improve it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you're playing, you're like, oh, crap, I forgot that there was an assist there. But as online, there's no returns.
Yeah,
there's no like, oh, shit, I forgot that guy was there. But anyway, Zabby, Rebel, did you all enjoy the animated adaptation of The Killing Joke?
I never saw it.
I heard it was horrible, so I probably won't see it. The Killing Joke is just another Batman film, I've heard a lot of bad things about it.
Yeah. I never watched animated Batman. I don't think I'll ever do it.
You need to watch
it. Batman Beyond is amazing.
Downstairs, I have The Dark Knight Returns. Part 1 and Part 2, which is the Frank Miller comic book. You're familiar with the trade paperback.
When I got here, DC is not my jam.
All right, we need to watch The Dark Knight Returns. It is really good.
All right, Zebedee, anyway, grumble. Anyway.
Zebedee, grumble. That's it.
We got a couple
here.
We got a couple over here.
God damn it. What nightmare would your Grimkin War Beast be based off?
I thought about this for a while. Mine would just be a void or a shadow of darkness. He would have some kind of RFP pull thing going on, and then his Animus would be an offensive RFP mechanic as well.
So you basically stole the Malifaux.
Insidious Darkness, yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay, all right.
If they can borrow from another game, then so can I.
Can we do one about like showing up to a meeting and not having any of your papers and stuff?
Sure, absolutely.
I was thinking about like walking around naked, but then I thought, oh, they're already halfway there with some of their models that they're making anyways. So
no pants. Yeah, showing up for a meeting with no pants, that'd be my war beast.
Mine's just a horde of rats that slows you down and then eats your eyes.
Jesus.
All right. That went dark.
Temporal distortion on a model. Permanent temporal distortion walks around.
Yep.
A mountain of contracts.
Time gets slowed and you're always late. Yeah, that shit's horrifying.
Yep. Well, some people already have that.
A temporal distortion as a war beast would be terrible.
And we got one more. Would you like to see faction models with a rule that says they can only be taken in a select theme force, i.e. Wolfsworn solo, that can only be taken in Wild Hunt.
We've effectively already got that because, I mean, you're supposed to do everything in themes, and the benefit of themes is strong enough that, I mean, that's kind of the looking at it for the new Signar shotgun gun mage, who's probably going to be really good, but you can play him out of theme or in Sons of the Tempest, so who's going to play him?
Mm-hmm. Or some other new random theme that may come out that might be a mishmash.
Yeah, it's possible. But I mean, already there are a lot of models. If they only fit in one theme for most factions, that's about how it works now.
I think it's an extra logistic that
it's unnecessary.
They would complicate it later on. It's like basically bonds right now are kind of really complicated in that regards.
Adding just a new rule onto something is fine enough for me. Like we saw the Skinner model that came out late Mark II that was like, if you play this certain theme force for Madrek, you get this specific Skinner. Like, it should just be like that all the time. And that's where, like, these faction models, or models that are only for a certain theme force, if I'm understanding the question correctly, I just don't think they need to be here, because we can just add rules to make them feel like they're a different model.
Oh, you're talking, like, when they were adding in, like, the other Arcanists.
The other Arcanists, there were the special character beasts that should have just been real models instead of a stupid upgrade to an Axe or an Impaler, which were not an upgrade at all. They were just free.
Side grade.
They're cheaper.
It was the personal war beasts of Madrek.
Yeah. Sure. All right.
That's all I got for that one.
So we should go quickly with our recommendations.
I recommend Valerian. Go see it. If you don't like the chemistry, if you don't care about chemistry between main characters, then it's a great movie. Like I love space culture, like the sociology of space is so fun and interesting. Like Big Market is super sweet. Every single like walkthrough they do of every alien race in that movie is super sweet. But Valerian and Lorelei can go jump off the fucking boat for all I care because they sucked.
Okay. Yeah, that was the thing that scared me about that film, is that the Valerian character looked like he was in high school.
It had so much groundwork to become the next Fifth Element, and they just didn't have Leeloo and Corbin Dallas.
Mm-hmm. That sucks.
If you're going Gen Con, demo Company of Iron.
Sure.
use Conflict Chamber.
Yes, use Conflict Chamber.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Travis.
I recommend seeing The Big Sick. It is a very funny and very heartfelt movie that came out recently.
Is this another Judd Apatow, somebody's going to die and everyone's...
Not quite, comedy? No. It's an autobiographical story about this stand-up comedian and effectively how he met his wife and dealing with the fact that he is from Pakistan and his parents want him to be in an arranged marriage.
But
the complicating twist is that about a third of the way through the movie, she gets a horrible infection and is put into a medically induced coma. And that's how he meets her parents.
And things get weird.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, I will recommend something. I will recommend stocking up on Coke Zero because Coke Zero was going away and this makes me sad.
There's one in the fridge right now.
Okay.
He's going to break Let's in go. And steal it.
All right.
Let's do this thing.
My recommendation, I already recommended it. If I'm going to recommend it for a second time, you should go play Doom. Doom is awesome. Doom just got updated for PS4 and its other components. It is an amazing, fun romp where you run around shooting demons.
It's always entertaining, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I just want to pass out to the folks that are, somebody actually mentioned in chat, somebody was asking where Nathan was. Nathan unfortunately cannot make it. He is off in Milwaukee drinking right now.
German Fest.
Zappity.
and other Brian is gone someplace else. I don't know where he is. Whatever. But I wanted to pass this off. Folks that are listening to us over on Twitch, you should go check out Matt John's last show. He is having his last show tonight starting at 7. Over on twitch.tv/painting.
In just about 10 minutes from now.
I think it's just Menoth John.
Just host it.
But yeah, I could do that, but I don't know how to.
Right you have to do it inside Twitch itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would like to thank all of our Patreons out there for supporting us. We were able to set up some more, get some more equipment to set up some folks to try to come in, start live streaming into us here, or not live streaming, Skyping into our team here.
Very nice.
So that's something we'll be able to set up in the future. Maybe we'll be able to get Travis not to drive all the way from Milwaukee to come and hang out. But we appreciate your presence.
Come to WITC and ATC. Yay!
And then you can appreciate Travis's presence right there. You might be able to play against Travis.
Absolutely. I am playing in WITC. I have a team.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, folks. We'll catch you next time around.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.